I want to refresh your thought. If you were here last week, it was so funny that after the service, a few people turn up to me and they say, "What was the last point?" And then I don't usually go over my sermon, so I had to go again. I realized that in the body of the talk, I gave the last point. But when I was summarizing, and I said, "Remember," and actually remember, that was the last point. So remind, refresh, and remember. You see, so those were the three things that I was sharing last week. So Apostle reminding us of this great truth that we have received, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit we possess that enables us to live for God and to be authentic Christians, and also He wants to do that not because we did not know. No, he said, "You know, and you are really establishing this truth, but I just want to remind you." And then so that your faith is refreshed, you see, so refreshed. And so you are just like on fire. You are alive to the Lord. You are just rejoicing over this truth, and they are alive and they are functioning. So you see, they are transforming your life and helping you to witness and to live for Christ and to love Him and to love His people. And then also, and that was the refresh, isn't it, the refresh? And then to remember, he said, there will come a time when there will be no people to encourage you, but you need to remember this. These are the ways to overcome. And so you need to remember these things. So being reminded, being refreshed, and then he said, remember. Today, what I want to share, to pick up from Peter was trying to do, and I think we do great service to our Lord if we take these words seriously and as a systematic looking at God's word. This is a great opportunity for us to look into the word of God, like verse by verse, and to pay a close attention. That is will be the point of the teaching today. Like Peter will say to us, you will do well to pay attention to it. How many things we are paying attention to in this world? Things that really are more important to us in our lives as Christians, in our families, with our children, and with our wives and husbands. And so for us to do well in all these areas, we are to pay attention to what the Lord is saying on how to live as His own people. Because if we do this, everything else will fall into place. We will love our wives, as the word says. You see, as Jesus tells us, isn't it? And also our wives will just rejoice in submission in submitting to their husbands. And even our children will honor their parents. You see, that is what the word of God says. And so, and I was contacted by a friend in America. He said, he called me by my nickname. So Lam Tat, Lam of the Shuluk. So even though I'm new, I was born in Shuluk areas. So the Shuluk are claiming me to be their own. So they gave me this title, Lam Tat. So he contacted me from America, and that is Vivian's brother. They are coming to give thanks to God for the departure of their mother, his mother-in-law, who passed away in Australia last year. So I just knew by the Holy Spirit, he wanted me to take the service, like to preach. And then I said, and then I started to think ahead of myself. I said, what shall I say? Well, I say, well, honor your mother and father so you have a long life. That was the thing that came to me. And that is the word of God. So let us pay attention to what is happening. Peter here is saying, this word we are urging you to hold to is authentic. That is why I said authentic gospel. Authentic gospel. So it's just amazing. That is the only place to go. And you should hold it closer to your heart. He says, this word did not, we ourselves, when we came and proclaiming the gospel to you, we were not following cleverly invented stories. Clever stories. We were not just like trying to trick you using certain methods motivational speech, isn't it? You see them, people just like fired up, like thousands of people just coming together, and you have this person like really inspiring people with great words that are empty, cannot give salvation to anyone. You see, just give you like a human philosophy on how to live that life that may not glorify God. See, cannot bring any beauty also to the life God has called us to live. So here we have three things. I want you to remember these things. Because I just recently just realized that that the Western mind is so organized and the way they need really clarity when you say tell them something, you need like to follow certain patterns. As I mentioned earlier, we are more of a narrative people. So the first thing I want to bring to your attention is the apostles themselves. Who are they? Why their message is so authentic? And so now Apostle Peter is saying, look, when we ourselves, the apostles, we didn't follow cleverly invented histories of our own making. When we told you and you believed, because he is speaking to believers, and if you are not a believer yet, please give your life to Jesus Christ right now. He said, when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They saw the glory and majesty is the majesty of God. They saw God at work. They saw it themselves. So we are telling you something that we didn't think ourselves. It's just we are narrating to you what we saw. We saw a glory of God. And what is our this we? I think I counted them. There were many the other day when I was studying. We. You will be seeing that. And he is referring to themselves as the apostles. You see, you need to remember, he is not the only apostle. Yeah, Apostle Paul wrote as well, isn't it? Yeah, Jude, this man, John. You see, so they were all capturing the same thing. They said, we were there, we saw with our own eyes. We were eyewitnesses of Christ's majesty. And it's a title that is only given to God in the context of Christian context. And then also, philosophically, people use it for kings, people who have great authority, power, and have dominion, isn't it? So that is why they refer to the queen or the king, his majesty, isn't it? Her majesty. So eyewitnesses, we were there. And where were they? So Matthew 17, if you have your own Bible, you have all the synoptics, the three gospels. They narrated the history that Peter is referring to here. See? Matthew 17, verse 5. While I'm saying this thing, maybe one is, yeah. That is what it says. Thank you, Namiko. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So this man, and this is referring to when Jesus was at the Mount Transfiguration. And Moses and Elijah, they were coming and speaking to him about his exodus that was going to take place. That about his departure from this world. And so the disciples were there, they saw the glory. Because Jesus was hid in a cloud and a voice from heaven saying, this is my son. And that is what they were telling, as they were telling the people that God has really come down to us. We, the chosen people. And then this is a Messiah we are talking about. As they were sharing this, and this is our Savior, this is your Savior. People put their trust in the saving grace of Jesus Christ and they became believers. Was that the message that you received? And you believed? It's not very clever, isn't it? They said, look, Jesus loves you. God loves you. and he gave his son for you. If you turn to him, your sin will be forgiven. But if you resist God, you will die in your own sin. You see? And then a person really realized that they are sinners, and then they gave their life to Jesus. That is a message, isn't it? Or what do you think is the gospel? Or when they saw Jesus dying on the cross, and Jesus saying, it's finished. You see, I paid it all. Your sins are covered. That is the gospel, isn't it? So Peter was saying, we gave you the full gospel. We told you who Jesus is. And who Jesus is what saves you. And now we have seen his glory. And you will do well if you pay attention to this. The message we are sharing to you is authentic because it's reliable. Because we are reliable eyewitnesses. We were there and we saw his glory and majesty. And we were so captured ourselves by that, and we surrendered to God. And we knew for sure that we have been saved. This is the right knowledge that we need to know of our God. And Jesus Christ truly is from God. And he is our Savior. He is our mediator. And if we put our trust in him, we shall never fail. And that was what happened. You see, he transformed their lives, and Jesus continues to transform the life of those who put their trust in him. And that is what he's saying. We were there. We were eyewitnesses. So we have received, we have seen this. And Jesus himself, how do we know that he got that honor and majesty and the power and the mandate to save people? We have heard the voice. We have seen, we have heard. You see? You see? Well, you may say that, okay, I didn't see. You see? But what did Jesus say to Thomas? He said, blessed are those who believe without seeing, isn't it? Because this is the truth of God and surpasses all situations or understanding. If you believe, just like believing by hearing and hearing of the word of God. And so he established this. He said, Jesus himself, he has received honor and glory from God the Father when we heard that voice. It's not that at that point that Jesus received that, but that was for them. And Jesus told them later on that that voice was for you. I came from heaven. I knew the glory that I had with my Father. You see, he knows this. But it is for us that to authenticate this for us and to change us. And to convince us that truly Jesus is from God. And so he is coming to bring you to the true Father, to be a child of God. You see, just imagine if someone would want to take you to another Father. You see, so you trace the way to that. So that is why when we witness to our friends, the Muslims, we tell them, look, guys, and I use this analogy. If we say... that there is one God, and so, and how can we come to this God? And so, what are the ways in which we can come to God, or the way? And then I use this analogy, like, you see, if you want to travel, you want to really take a reliable, really transport, isn't it? A reliable transport. I use Sudanese Airways. Sudanese Airways, they were not investing a lot of money in trying to upgrade their airways, isn't it? And so when people are coming to choose their airways, or I mean the airplanes, they reluctantly choose this one because they know it is not reliable. You see? So they may go for Emirates or Qatar Airways, but not the Sudanese Airways. And so if you have the best option, why would you want to go for the worst option and you put your life in jeopardy? You see? And that is what we are saying. If any prophet claiming to bring us to God, and so we need to look at his background, where is he coming from? what are the evidence that he is truly the one that can bring us to the safer place? For our heart yearns for our Creator. So we didn't exist just here in vacuum. Certainly someone has made us and for a purpose. That would give you the value if you know where you were coming from and where you are going. That is how you will live your life really in a dignified way. Because you know you have been amazingly made for a glory. Fashion to bring glory to God, to receive dignity from God, and grace from God, and love and kindness from God, and to be looked after by your Creator, and to fill your heart with joy and love, and to make you defeat all the forces of darkness that are every day active to bring you down. Oh, you don't have this. Oh, you don't have this. Oh, you are not like this. Oh, you don't look like this. You don't possess this kind of car or a house or anything. No. So we need to know if whoever is claiming to be our mediator between us and God, our Father, we need to look carefully of where is he coming from. What can we see to convince us he is really from God? And he is the way, and that is Jesus. And this is what the disciples are telling us. That is why their message is authentic. And then he went on to say, like, this is what happened. And God said, actually, this is my son. And that was the very reason the religious establishment really accused Jesus of blasphemy. Because he is calling himself to be the son of God, making himself equal with God. Because that is the understanding. That is the rationale. If you say, you belong, you carry the DNA. Isn't it? You belong to your father. And they say, oh, Jesus is claiming this, making himself greater than all of us, making himself equal with God. Well, that is the thing. That is what even Peter said, we will participate in the divine nature of God as we have become his children. So Apostle Peter is telling us here by the Holy Spirit that this is what the Lord said himself, and this is my son, and I love him, and with him I'm well pleased, because he is going to finish the work that I've desired to be finished. And he says again, we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the Sacred Mountain, when we were there. So you read that, please write it down. Matthew 17, Mark 9, Luke 9, all the three synoptics, they told us this wonderful event, because they know it's central to our understanding of who Jesus is and why we should hold to him, and why what he says is the gospel and what is here. So now let me keep going. And now he says this is authentic because we apostles ourselves, we were there, we were eyewitnesses, we have seen this, we have heard this, we prove that is true. And what here is not of man. Now he moves to talk also about the prophets. You have the apostles and you have the prophets. You have the Old Testament and the New Testament put together, making the divine revelation, the word of God that we hold fast to with all of our breath, with all our heart. You see, and to defend and to die for, as we believe it, isn't it? And we spend all our resources really telling this wonderful story to the whole world, that this is the divine word of God. Well, it's saying even the prophecies, the Old Testament, they are originated from God. Jesus from God himself. And the prophet themselves, they spoke from God. So that is the origin of the word. This message is so divine. It's authentic. The message we have and the word of God is so authentic. Because it does not originate with man, isn't it? That is what Peter is telling us. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain. And I want to skip that part that when he said, like, you will do well when you do that. I will come back to that. Verse 20, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of a scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. No, not by own interpretations. And exactly like what Peter was saying, that the message we told you, the stories of salvation, of redemption we told you, they were not cleverly invented stories. And now here also is saying that the prophets are the writings. They didn't just invent these things also. For prophecy never had its origins in the will of man. No, there is no human contribution to this. But men spoke from God. That is what he's saying. But men spoke from God as they were carried by the Holy Spirit. This is a very important verse in the Holy Scripture. And all the reformers through the history, that was a key word why they are to stand firm on the Word of God. Martin Luther, why he had to call the whole church back to the Word of God is purely they were just referring again and again to this text of 2 Peter. This is where you will see the difference between those who truly have the high view of the Word of God and those who are not. Those who are liberal, they will say, maybe it's contained of, these are the word of people, of men, and we cannot believe them. Even the histories of the miraculous signs, no. Even 2 weeks ago, or even less than a week ago, I was speaking to someone else, I was exercising. He says, oh, I don't believe that the miracles of Jesus, like feeding people with those fish and bread, is true. See, even in our own country here, there are those who wouldn't believe these things were authentic. No, we are not. So Apostle Peter is revealing to us that the Word of God, the prophets, the prophecies, they originated with God. And God only was using men. He has filled with the Holy Spirit to carry this message, divine message that was coming from heaven. You see? Because why the prophecy is so important for us to see it as the Word of God? Why? As coming from heaven. Why? Because Jesus was coming to fulfill the Old Testament, isn't it? Because Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament. In the Gospel of Matthew alone, 93 prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled in Jesus' lifetimes, even to the cross. I didn't count even like the cross references, because different gospel, they don't record certain narratives or stories. But I'm just referring to Matthew alone, 93 prophecies. Just imagine if the prophecy is not originated with God, and then our message is not reliable, and our salvation will be in danger, and our faith will have been built on nothing, not on a firm foundation. Like Apostle Paul would say, build your life on the foundations of apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself, the cornerstone. You see, combining two together as an authentic message of God that can save us. See why it is so important to take this seriously. If you are sure that these men were speaking from God, and then you will take their message as speaking to you, and as you receive it, you will have faith. As our brother was praying, not only to just to have faith, but actually to delight in this faith. You see, because that will be the method by which we commune with our God. We come to him, hey, Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We pray for, we intercede for others. We pray for our needs. We pray for ourselves, for protection, for salvation, for cleansing, for transformation, for holiness. Everything by faith. So this is so serious if we believe that this is from our God. Because those men, how can this human agency and divine agency come together? It's a mystery, isn't it? How can people like us, weak people like us, be filled with the Holy Spirit and faith, you see, and have the joy of the Lord and wait in hope of the return of Christ? If this message is not truly from God. Well, let me share with you that the Word of God is so central to our faith. And where it is absent, we will have troubles. Well, last week I was visiting the library, our library, and I met this man, Michael Smith. He's our librarian. please pray for him. He's a man of God. So Michael told me that he was once a partner in a business. He was like running the marketing part aspect of the IVF, even next door. And somehow, because these people really, they became involved in other things that he was not feel led to. He gave up multimillion business for the sake of holding fast to the truth of God. So while I was visiting the library, he became now a librarian because he lost his business. He just resigned from that. He gave me this book. And this book is Chosen Peoples, Christianity and Political Imagination in South Sudan. And then as I just quickly went through this book, like just to start to have a look, and then I came across a quote by, he was quoting Joseph Taban. Joseph Taban was a Southern Sudanese leader. He was one of the leaders of the revival in Sudan and South Sudan back late 80s and early 90s. So he was in South Sudan when the Islamic army was just like persecuting people in the south, and so they fled and he came to the north. Because in the north, even though that is the center of the Islam, but the international community was present. All the embassies and the media. You see, you cannot just go doing the wrong things without the eyes of the world seeing what you are doing. Well, when they came into Khartoum, they started also to preach the gospel. And so I think he was interviewed in 93 by the BBC. So this is what he said when he was talking to people who were gathering the stories about the suffering of the Christians. He said, if there is a book the South Sudanese cannot remove from their lives, it is the Bible. There are books that are very close to the hearts of South Sudanese because of our suffering. So if the Bible then is made up of stories of suffering, 50% of it, the other 50% of them stories is the glory that follows suffering. That is our story. Maybe we are not enjoying the glory now, but we know it is coming. We know it is coming. And just you hearing earlier, this man, Khamis, walking with his whole church like this, just imagine me or Brother Michael leading you to safety as God's people for 27 days, holding fast to the faith and praying. Whenever you stop, you pray. Is it not a history of suffering? I was speaking to these leaders the other day, and I said, like, look, maybe South Sudanese are just in this country that is full rich and everything, with everything, and yet the suffering is untold, even in this country. So what is he saying? He's saying we need to go back to the roots. We need to go back to the root, even like South Sudanese, as chosen people of God. And if we are suffering now, the glory is coming. And how about the rest who may think like they are not suffering? Is it still there is suffering? Because it's not just like a matter that is confined to the South Sudanese. It's a suffering for all the Christians, isn't it? Because without sufferings, we cannot enjoy the glory. Even suffering by rejecting the ungodly worldviews at your workplace, you will suffer. You will lose your job. And the Bible should be at the center of our lives. And we are to stir up one another, to spur one another up into taking hold of this. And this is what this man is saying. You will do well to pay attention to it. Give me 3 minutes to say, to do well. To do well, how? To do well. To do well, how? To do well in what? To do well in all other, in everything that you do. The Bible says Joseph was successful. All that he did, or he does, he succeed. Because he obeyed the Lord fully. He trusted his God. So we will do well in our relationships. We will do well in our service. We will do well in our relationship with the Lord. We will do well in witnessing. We will do well in living as citizens in this country if we pay close attention to the Word of God and what He is saying of Himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and what He is saying about us. And so if you are downed, you go back to the word. If anyone is thirsty, let him come. You see, if anyone is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is happy, rejoicing, let them sing. So let us take the word of God so seriously so that we will do well. Many of our struggles today is the absence of the divine revelations in our minds and in our hearts. I know for sure myself, if I neglect the word of God and can't remember any story to relate to my situation, I will do badly. See? Carlene and I, myself, we were with Brother Neville on Friday. We had an amazing time. You see, I visited him at the nursing home because on Wednesday, let us keep praying for Neville. So he had a fall just shortly before I came to take the nursing home service. And when I was there, he was just really struggling. And I felt that. I said, I must go back to see my brother. And so on Friday, I came to the office, I finished my work, and I was underdressed. I said, shall I go home and just like to come like a minister? Oh, no, I just seized the opportunity. I said, no, I'm just storming to that place. And I got there, and God really prepared the situation. There my brother was having his his lunch, Carlene next to, and we had a wonderful time on the word of God and prayers. And at some points, I think my brother was trying to feed me even the fruits. Yeah, we were just so amazed as we were looking at the word of God and praying. And then we were free. That is a place we will do well to dispel the clouds of doubts and struggles and despair and unbelief. Voices of rejection. If the word of said, dearly loved, greatly loved, who can reject you if the Lord loves me? It doesn't matter if the whole world put together hates me or rejects me. Hey, hallelujah. See, you should rejoice. And because you don't have the confidence in the word of God, that is why you try to find your security in other things, in man approval and other things. You see, because you don't take this seriously, you don't think it's the divine word of God is speaking directly to you. You remember, he was saying ourselves, and then on the other hand, he will say you. You will do well to pay attention. You will do well, you. See, just how about this? You is hearing this. You will do well. How about that if somebody say like, you will do well, and they say, oh, you will do bad. How about that? So it's very encouraging, isn't it? You will do well. You will do well. Oh, you will not do bad. You see, yeah, keep going. You will do well. You see, keep going. Just trust and believe and obey. Even if you sin, confess your sin. Confess. He made a way for us. A highway to our God through the blood of Jesus Christ. The reason we will stay in the valley, not on the top of the mountain, is because we are refusing to accept these as a divine revelation from God. That has its origin in God himself. Men of God, carried by the Holy Spirit, is speaking from God to you. You will do well if you pay attention to the divine revelation, to the gospel. It's authentic. My salvation is sure. I'm going to see my Savior. And when he comes, the Bible says, we shall sing. We shall be rejoicing. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. Has made herself ready by paying attention to the divine revelation of God. This is on our authentic gospel. Let us stop. You know, one of the greatest enemies of Christian in this day is the invention of the smartphone. Please, some people may say, oh yeah, it's making our life easy. Yes, it's making our life easy. Also, it's making our life really bad. Three hours. How about if you spend like 3 hours reading the word of God and praying, there will be revival, isn't it? Our authentic gospel, you will do well if you pay attention to it. Let us pray. Make room for the word of God. Just believe it as an authentic word from God the Father himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. using men of God. Our business can never replace how much God wants to hear us in praise and see us conversing with Him in His Word. For whenever we come and read the Word of God, God Himself is watching, using all His divine power to open our hearts to His Word, confirming it into our hearts. Let us use our minds well by paying attention to the best things that can build up our lives in a good way.